buy one, get one for a dollar at McDonald's. Or as we like to call it, the can't have just one deal. Mix and match a sausage biscuit, sausage McGriddles, McChicken biscuit, chicken McGriddles, or crispy hash brown. Want two sausage biscuits? Buy one, get one for a dollar. Want a sausage biscuit and hash browns? That's cool too. Choose more of what you love. Buy one, get one for a dollar at McDonald's. Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value. Cannot be combined with combo meal.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening in and around the NFL, the National Football League. That's right. We got a great show for you this week. On this week's program, we have Allie Highsong. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. We discussed the Browns game against the Chicago Bears. We also talk Baker Mayfield, the Browns' next game against the Minnesota Vikings, and so much more. And plus, we have a preview on the program. We have a preview of Week 4's most important games and my game of the week. Should be a fun show, as always. But, you know, Week 3 was outstanding in more ways than one. And I got to tell you, man, comebacks, field goals, and everything else in between as we get you to your scores from Week 3's most important games in the NFL. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Carolina Panthers and the Houston Texans. Christian McCaffrey and J.C. Horn suffered injuries for the Panthers, but nevertheless, Sam Darnold played big time as the Panthers beat the Texans, final score 24-9. Close game at Arrowhead Stadium between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Kansas City Chiefs, but the Chargers prevailed on this one, final score Chargers 30, Chiefs 24. The Chicago Bears went up against the Cleveland Browns, and it was all Browns. Their defense handled their business. Odell Beckham Jr. returned from his injury, and the Browns were able to beat the Bears. Final score, 26-6. The New Orleans Saints went up against the New England Patriots, and it was all Saints. The defense just beat the brakes off of rookie quarterback Mac Jones. The Saints rebounded from the loss against Carolina. New Orleans beats New England. Final score, 28-13. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers went up against the Los Angeles Rams. It was all Rams from start to finish. Their offense clicked on all cylinders. The defense handled their business as well, as the Rams would beat the Buccaneers. Final score, 34-24. The Seattle Seahawks went up against the Minnesota Vikings, and the Vikings get their first win of the year as the Vikings would beat the Seahawks. Final score, 30-17. Sunday Night Football. What a classic it was, man. The continued game in the great rivalry between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. Aaron Rodgers, all he needed was 37 seconds. Mason Crosby kicked the game-winning field goal. Packers beat the 49ers 30-28. And on Monday Night Football, we had the Philadelphia Eagles. It was the Dallas Cowboys. No contest. Dak, Zeke, Tony Pollard, everybody handled their business in this game. Cowboys defense, sensational Trayvon Diggs returned an interception for a touchdown. The Cowboys beat the Eagles on Monday Night Football, final score 41-21. And that's a recap of your scores from Week 3's most important games in the NFL. Now time for my top three storylines. I mentioned the Sunday night game earlier, and the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers, the continued tradition, they're continuing this great tradition that great rivalry that's gone on, since the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and now the current. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, but what can you say about him? Before I get more into Aaron and the game and things of that nature, here's how the game-winning drive went down. This audio is courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports.
Crosby keeps warm. Crowd keeping warm. No crowds in here for a long time.
Now a sack is just about in this game. If there was ever a time for the 49ers to get one, this would be it.
They send four. Seven back. Rodgers fires over the middle. Caught and Adams. Adams will try to get out of bounds. He's at the 49-yard line. He stopped there. Rodgers will come up and spike it. 25 yards to Devontae. Rodgers fires, caught.
You got to go.
32, he gives himself up. That's a first down. Can he spike it here? Can they get lined up? They do. And Mason Crosby will try to win the game.
That is not always said about a kick.
Mm-mm. The Hawkeyes to hold it. Crosby to try to win it. And the kick is good to win the game. The 49.
All right, that audio was courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports. That was Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth on the call. And man, 37 seconds. 37 seconds was all that Aaron Rodgers need to lead his team to the game-winning drive, get him in field goal range, and let Mason Crosby do what he's been doing for such a long time, kick the field goal, make it, win it for the Packers to win 30-28. For everything that's been, for everything that Aaron Rodgers is, and for everything that he isn't, one thing that he still is, he has been and continues to be, is dynamic. Man, you talk about three-time league MVP, Super Bowl champion, with all the drama that went down in the offseason between him and the Packers. Let me tell you what, Aaron Rodgers, you could say with this game, the pack is back and then some. We knew about the 49ers defense and how tough they were throughout most of this game, but Aaron was able to pick his spots and get the offense involved. Aaron Jones played nicely. Devontae Adams was able to get his. Marquez Valdez-Scantling got a touchdown as well. And, of course, the drive, all it took him was 37 seconds to get his team in field goal range. Mason Crosby did his thing. Game over, Packers win. Aaron Rodgers, man, is just – he still is in a class by himself. Let's just cut to the chase on that one. Aaron Rodgers is in a class by himself. He's a gentleman that's you know, I don't know if this is going to be the last dance or not for him in Green Bay, but, man – He's done this so many times in his career, and he continues to just add to the ranks of his brilliant future Hall of Fame career whenever he decides to hang it up. Does this game put Green Bay in position to maybe make some noise for possibly being a Super Bowl contender? I'll say that most definitely. And you know, the Packers defensively, they held their own. They're defensively, they were solid. They weren't great, but they were solid enough to make the plays when it mattered most, especially down the stretch, and they were able to get, and of course, again, the brilliance of Aaron Rodgers continue to add to his Hall of Fame career whenever, you know, he decides to hang it up. But, man, kudos to Aaron Rodgers. Kudos to Mason Crosby and the Green Bay Packers on that great comeback. What a Sunday night game that was between the Packers and the 49ers. My next storyline, we go from a future Hall of Famer to another future Hall of Famer, Justin Tucker. Baltimore Ravens kicker Justin Tucker. Man, you talk about one of the greatest legs and one of the greatest legs in the history of the NFL. Here's an audio courtesy of National Football League and CBS Sports with Tucker kicking the game-winning field goal against the Detroit Lions.
With 3 seconds to play. Straight field goals.
Well, this is the guy you want, Greg. If you're in this situation, I can't think of a better option.
This is for an NFL record 66 yards.
What a kick! I've never seen anything like it. I'm speechless, but what a kick.
It was barely long enough to get the bounce off the crossbar.
All right, again, that audio was courtesy of the National Football League and CBS Sports. Justin Tucker kicking an NFL record 66-yard field goal. Yes, he kicked the game-winning field goal and set the NFL record for the longest field goal kicked in a regular season game in NFL history. 66 yards. Man, you talk about, you know, Justin Tucker has made some big field goals throughout his career. Matter of fact, he is the most accurate place kicker in NFL history. And now he holds the NFL record for kicking the longest field goal, 66 yards, which he did this past Sunday against the Detroit Lions. Man, Baltimore, they've got a great quarterback with Lamar Jackson. They've also got a solid running game. Defense is pretty good, but, man, Justin Tucker is something else. Man, four-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion. Again, the most accurate place kicker in the history of the NFL. Man, you can't ask for anything more. And on top of that, no matter what, rain, sleet, snow, hail, windy conditions, Justin Tucker can do it all and then some, man. Justin Tucker, man, there's definitely going to be a place for him in Canton, Ohio, whenever he decides to hang it up. That was just brilliance right there. And again, you know, they say the quarterback is the most high-profile position in the NFL, but the kicker, I would say the kicker position is the most respected and disrespected position. It's respected when you can make big field goals like that, but it's also disrespected when you miss easy kicks and you can't nail them, and there's going to be trouble in paradise. But Justin Tucker, highly respected throughout much of the league and even amongst his teammates as well. So congratulations to Justin Tucker on not only setting that NFL record for the longest field goal kicked in 66 yards, but helping his team get that victory over the Detroit Lions this past Sunday. And for my last storyline, yes, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. You know, the Brady and Belichick dynamic has been so unique. They've been a winning tradition for such a long time. Together, they've won 5 Super Bowls together. They've achieved a lot together. Differences in personalities. Belichick is known to be stiff, highly educated. Brady, known to be somebody to get along, you know, easy to get along with. Pretty much likable for the most part, a sunny personality, highly driven, ambitious. And they always say personalities, when personalities offset one another like that, normally that's a recipe for success. And they were completely polar opposites. But that quarterback-coach dynamic, it worked out so well. And then some. Again, 9 Super Bowls, they would go on to win. I'm sorry, they played in 9 Super Bowls, would go on to win 5 Super Bowls together. And, you know, phenomenal, just a phenomenal body of work. I'm sorry, 6 Super Bowls. What am I talking about? They had 9 Super Bowl appearances together and would wind up winning 6 Super Bowls together. So the accomplishments are just extraordinary between those two. And for all the success that they had together in New England, guess what? This is going to be the first time ever in not only Tom's history but in Bill's history that they're going to be squaring off against each other. And what an emotional game this is going to be, not just for the players involved. Of course, Tom and Bill are going to feel some type of way, but for the fans at Foxborough, Tom gave them so many great memories, so many fantastic memories. I mean, taking this franchise when they were a decent playoff team, when Drew Bledsoe was the quarterback, Drew gets hurt on the Monday night, in comes Tom Brady in 2001, and as they said before, the franchise never looked back. So the Patriot fans have so many great memories of the Brady-Belichick era. Of course, Robert Kraft, the owner of the team, has a lot to do with this as well. And so, again, they won six Super Bowls together, and that's a lot. they've done so much together, and now for the first time they're going to go head-to-head against one another. And you don't think Tom Brady has it on his mind on how the team let him go like that? You don't think with him still having so much more to give to the Patriots franchise for all that he's done, taking pay cuts, restructuring contracts and things of that nature. He's got a lot. He has got a lot and then some, and then some. And with Coach Belichick, you know, he was ready to move on. They tried to make things work with the Jimmy Garoppolo situation, bringing in Cam Newton. Now Mac Jones is the quarterback. I'm sure Coach Belichick has got a lot to prove because he's probably saying, well, you know what, I think we're just fine. We're without Tom. We're ready to move on. But this is gonna be an emotional game from start to finish, not just for the parties involved, but more so for the fans as well. And this is gonna be, I don't know if this is gonna be a good game or whatever, but I just think Tom, knowing him, he's got definitely revenge on his mind for all the years that he had spent in Foxborough and then how they just kicked him to the curb. Like, I don't think Robert Kraft kicked him to the curb. I think it was more Belichick kicking him to the curb. They were just ready to move on and wanted to have a change. But as they say, life goes on. And, of course, we know in the 2020 season, Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Meanwhile, Coach Belichick, they didn't make the playoffs last year. So now the Mac Jones era begins in New England. So definitely Brady Belichick, a wonderful storyline and something to look forward to on the Sunday Night Football. I'll get more into detail about this matchup a little bit later. But coming up next, I have an exclusive interview with Allie Hysong. She is the host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to covering Cleveland Browns content. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to the League Wraparound. I'll leave you now again with this audio courtesy of the National Football League and NBC Sports as Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers leads his team to the game-winning drive, and Mason Crosby kicks the game-winning field goal in the game against the 49ers. We'll be right back.
Crosby keeps warm. Crowd keeping warm. No crowds in here for a long time.
Now a sack is just about in this game. If there was ever a time for the 49ers to get one, this would be it.
They send four. Seven back. Rodgers fires over the middle. Caught Adams. Adams will try to get out of bounds. He's at the 49-yard line. He stopped there. Rodgers will come up and spike it. 25 yards to Devontae. Rodgers fires, caught.
Now you got to go.
32, he gives himself up. That's a first down. Can he spike it here? Can they get lined up? They do. And Mason Crosby will try to win the game.
That is not always said about a kick.
Mm-mm. The Hawkeyes to hold it. Crosby to try to win it. And the kick is good to win the game.
Not to be dramatic, but I'm obsessed with how much I just saved at Kohl's. I got 25% off Nike clothes for the kids. The cutest $39.99 flex hoodie for me. And got great Columbia gear for all our outdoor adventures. Did I mention the extra 20% off and the Kohl's cash I got? So, yeah, not sure what I love more, fall deals or fall weather. Select styles. 20% offer ends October 3rd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
The giant angry beaver migrates to Duluth Trading and gnaws down prices on top gear for its big damn birthday. Impressive. Just like saving big when you head online or hit the Duluth Trading store.
Not to be dramatic, but I'm obsessed with how much I just saved at Kohl's. I got 25% off Nike clothes for the kids. The cutest $39.99 flex hoodie for me. And got great Columbia gear for all our outdoor adventures. Did I mention the extra 20% off and the Kohl's cash I got? So, yeah, not sure what I love more, fall deals or fall weather. Select styles. 20% offer ends October 3rd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
estuvo en un accidente y no sabe qué hacer, nunca abandone la escena del accidente. Asegúrese de obtener la información del otro conductor, como el nombre, número telefónico e información del seguro. Si está lesionado, no olvide de buscar tratamiento médico, como ir al hospital o ver a un doctor. No hable con nadie de la compañía de seguros del otro conductor. Hable con un abogado con experiencia. Llame a Gordon McKernan Abogados de Accidentes al 225-888-8888 para una consulta gratuita. Somos tu voz. Portavoz pagado.
Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. Underwear is the second, shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
¿Eres una de esas personas que hacen de un Sausage McMuffin with Egg de McDonald's su Sausage McMuffin with Egg? Quizá le pones un poquito de salsa picante al English Muffin recién tostado, o quizá le pones un hash browns al muffin, o tal vez eres de los que lo llama tuyo, exactamente como viene. Sí, yo también. Para pa pa pa.
Football season is here. Stock up with Dietz and Watson, your official tailgate partner. And since the weekend is on its way, get ready to win with a halftime sandwich spread. Enjoy endless combinations with fresh sliced deli meats and cheeses in a variety of bold flavors. There's something for everyone in the family. Plus, plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939. Football season is here. Stock up with Dietz and Watson, your official tailgate partner. And since the weekend is on its way, get ready to win with a halftime sandwich spread. Enjoy endless combinations with fresh sliced deli meats and cheeses in a variety of bold flavors. There's something for everyone in the family. Plus, plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
Welcome to Modern Life, a brand new podcast from Fidelity Investments that's here to help you live your best life. From marriage and parenting to choosing a career and deciding how to invest your time and money, each week you'll hear stories from incredible people about triumph, change, and discovering their purpose. Search Modern Life wherever you find your podcast and hit follow or subscribe for new episodes. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.
It's a fact. All cars will eventually break down. If you have CarShield, you can protect yourself from the high cost of auto repairs. And they're America's number one auto protection company. Your transmission, engine, and car's computer system are all covered. Get the ultimate vehicle service protection. Call CarShield now at 800-932-1729. That's 800-932-1729.
Come explore the new Total Wine & More and discover the lowest prices and largest selection in the state. Explore over 8,000 wines. Our helpful guides will help you pick the perfect one. Over 2,500 beers, including 800 local favorites, perfect for game day or your crawfish boil. And over 3,000 spirits with the lowest prices in Louisiana. You can even order delivery or curbside pickup. So come explore your new Total Wine & More at 7074 Segan Lane in Baton Rouge.
When you game with Alienware, you have the freedom to be anyone, like the galaxy's most feared warrior, and the freedom to go anywhere. Elevate your gameplay with the new Alienware X-Series laptops with 11th Gen Intel Core processors. Defy boundaries and start gaming now at Alienware.com.
Welcome to Modern Life, a brand new podcast from Fidelity Investments that's here to help you live your best life. From marriage and parenting to choosing a career and deciding how to invest your time and money, each week you'll hear stories from incredible people about triumph, change, and discovering their purpose. Search Modern Life wherever you find your podcast and hit follow or subscribe for new episodes. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.
You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. But what if that basket is really, really big? With Acme for You, you get a huge basket, big enough for personalized deals on things you like to buy and even a free treat on your birthday. You can earn rewards on nearly all purchases and redeem them for things like free groceries and discounts on gas. So go ahead and put all your eggs in one basket. Become a free Acme for You member today. No purchase necessary. Download the Acme Deals and Delivery app and feed your joy. Visit acmemarkets.com/foryou for program details.
Welcome to Modern Life, a brand new podcast from Fidelity Investments that's here to help you live your best life. From marriage and parenting to choosing a career and deciding how to invest your time and money, each week you'll hear stories from incredible people about triumph, change, and discovering their purpose. Search Modern Life wherever you find your podcast and hit follow or subscribe for new episodes. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC, 900 Salem Street, Smithfield, Rhode Island, 02917.
Not to be dramatic, but I'm obsessed with how much I just saved at Kohl's. I got 25% off Nike clothes for the kids, the cutest $39.99 flex hoodie for me, and got great Columbia gear for all our outdoor adventures. Did I mention the extra 20% off and the Kohl's cash I got? So, yeah, not sure what I love more, fall deals or fall weather. Select styles. 20% offer ends October 3rd. Some exclusions apply. See store or kohls.com for details.
At Dietz & Watson, we've been crafting premium meats and artisan cheeses for over 80 years, so we know a thing or two about making snack time delicious. Whether you're craving smoky, spicy, or sweet, we've got what you need to create the perfect sandwich. There's something for everyone in the family, plus plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
Not to be dramatic, but I'm obsessed with how much I just saved at Kohl's. I got 25% off Nike clothes for the kids, the cutest $39.99 flex hoodie for me, and got great Columbia gear for all our outdoor adventures. Did I mention the extra 20% off and the Kohl's cash I got? So, yeah, not sure what I love more, fall deals or fall weather. Select styles. 20% offer ends October 3rd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Si tú y tus amigos ordenan de McDonald's juntos, deja que los demás agarren su comida primero. Yo sé, el solo pensar en el olor de las papitas y tener que esperar para meter tu mano en la caja y sacar unas suena loco. Pero por regla, si eres la última persona que sostiene la bolsa, entonces las papitas que se cayeron al fondo de la bolsa son tuyas. La paciencia paga, amigos. Para pa pa pa.
Third down and 10. Blitz coming. Mayfield steps up. Guns it complete. It is Odell Beckham Jr. Welcome back to the Browns and a first down for Cleveland.
You got Quinn and Cleo Mack lined up together.
Mayfield escapes. Looking to run. Penalty flag. First down and then some. And Mayfield into Bears territory. Stuff for today. The Browns get a first down and they'll fake it again. Mayfield's got a man wide open. And there he goes again. It is Felton. Browns, Bears, two of the great organizations in the league. And a first and 15 after the penalty. It is Mayfield. Has time. Fires to a man. Wide open. Is he inbounds? Peoples Jones is inbounds. Down to the 29.
Anytime you play this old Tampa 2, this trap coverage, they call that the hole shot.
Second down. Mayfield over the middle. Good catch. Had to stretch for that one. Did Beckham.
You heard.
Second down on the fake pressure. Calling it, he is buried. It's Owusu Koramoah again. Garrett was there too. Oh, the rookie from Notre Dame is having a big impact on this game early.
See Owusu Koramoah right here. He kind of just pulls the trigger. He's delaying. He sees the hard action.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the National Football League and Fox Sports, and you heard the highlights from the Cleveland Browns victory over the Chicago Bears in week 3 of the 2021 NFL season. That was Baker Mayfield doing his thing against the Bears, and of course, Myles Garrett recording a sack against the Bears. To talk more about that game as well as the upcoming Browns game against the Minnesota Vikings, we want to welcome her back to the program. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast, the podcast dedicated to all things related to the Cleveland Browns Allie Hisong. Hey, Allie, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So let's get right to it. The Cleveland Browns pulled off an impressive victory over the Chicago Bears, 26-6. What were your takeaways from this victory?
Well, there's a lot that went into it. This was a game that the Browns' defense was able to get it right. You know, as we've seen really up until this point, they had 9 new starters on the defense. And we knew it was going to take some time to gel, but they finally were able to get it right. There were some question marks regarding Joe Woods' defensive scheme, the personnel, you know, is this really going to work? But this was a game for the Browns defense to get it right. And I think they absolutely came out. They made a stand. Myles Garrett, 4.5 sacks, which was the single game sack record for the Cleveland Browns, coming out with 4.5, which was absolutely insane. 9 total sacks on the day. The Browns defense at every level was elite. Their secondary was doing pretty well, but I guess that is, a lot easier to do when you're the pass rush is just absolutely getting after the quarterback. But even offensively, this is Odell Beckham Jr.'s first game coming back off of that ACL injury. He makes a statement with, I believe it was like 77 yards on 5 receptions. Baker Mayfield, maybe not his best game, but even when he doesn't have his best game, they can still go out, they can execute, and they can stick to their identity. So overall, I think this was a good game for the Browns to just get it right.
Indeed, they did get it right, and you mentioned about the defense, and we're going to talk more about the defense in just a moment, but I want to talk more in detail about the offense. The running game in this very early part of the NFL season, Allie, has been very impressive, particularly with the running tandem of Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. We saw flashes of it last year, but so far so good this year. In the game against the Bears, Nick Chubb had 22 carries for 84 yards, and then Kareem Hunt had 10 carries for 81 yards. And a touchdown. Just give me your thoughts on how Nick and Kareem played in this game, and how do you see them going forward for the remainder of the year?
Well, I'm of the belief that the Browns have the best running game in the National Football League. I think that this was Kareem Hunt's best game as a Cleveland Brown. I think the Bears' game plan was to come out and stop Nick Chubb, and they really did. They limited him. He didn't have his most explosive game, but oh, by the way, that's okay because the Browns also have Kareem Hunt, who is an elite running back in the National Football League, backing up Nick Chubb. So I'm of the belief that this was his best game as a Cleveland Brown. And also adding in Demetric Felton, the rookie out of UCLA, who was a 6th-round pick this past draft. And he fills a role of being a running back / wide receiver. He stepped up in some big ways over the past couple of weeks, especially with Jarvis Landry out. But just to add some versatility there in the run game. And I think it was incredibly helpful, too, in the game against the Chicago Bears. Andy Janovich had some more playing time, and I think adding in that true fullback is incredibly helpful to the run game, especially when the Browns' offensive line didn't have their best game.
All right, and let's move along now to the receiving side. And you mentioned, of course, this is Odell Beckham Jr. This was Odell Beckham Jr.'s first game back since the suffering that injury in October, and they're going to need him for a while because Jarvis Landry is on injured reserve, and he held his own in his first game back from the injury. Again, Odell had 5 catches for 77 yards. Also, Kareem Hunt made a contribution on the receiving side. Also, Donovan Peoples-Jones and Rashard Higgins, who have been very good in the last couple of years for the Browns, they stepped up in this contest. Austin Hooper, a major tight end, scored a touchdown in the contest. Give me your thoughts on Odell as well as the rest of the receiving squad and what they did in the victory against the Bears.
Well, I think it was a lot of fun for us Browns fans to be able to see Odell Beckham Jr. come back and really just look like himself. He had 5 receptions, 77 yards, but he was also filling in because you mentioned Jarvis Landry's out. He's on injured reserve. There was some redundancy, and I was very I took a hard stance on this in this offseason. There was some redundancy in the receiver room. You had a lot of guys that could do a lot of the same things. Jarvis Landry, Hollywood Higgins kind of do a lot of the same things, but you add in Odell Beckham Jr., and he's just so dynamic that he just shifts this room. He was playing multiple roles on Sunday. He was, doing some, middle-of-the-field work, but also able to take the top off of the defense. So it was a lot of fun for me to watch him come back and just look like the Odell Beckham Jr. that we know and love. But still probably a long ways for him to go. I know he mentioned after the game that he was absolutely exhausted. which is normal, I suppose, coming off of an ACL injury. But really looking forward to him continuing down the stretch of the rest of the season. You mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones. He had two beautiful catches. They were absolutely amazing in that game. He always seems to come up in the most clutch moments with those big catches, which is what you like to see out of a sixth-round second-year receiver out of Michigan. I mentioned earlier Demetric Felton, him adding versatility to the receiving game. He's been filling in a little bit more for Jarvis Landry now that he's out. But another name is he brings to the table. Now, he wasn't exactly highlighted against the Bears, but if you go back, even in week one against the Kansas City Chiefs, just his ability to gain speed, which is elite-level speed, by the way, world-class speed, and just be able to be a vertical threat. That adds so much versatility to this receiving room, and I think that there's going to be so much more to come. And Chad O'Shea, the wide receivers coach, has so much to work with in this offense with that receiving core.
I want to stay with the receiving side for a moment. Jarvis Landry, again, is on injured reserve, and he is expected to return in a few weeks or so for the Browns. But we know that Jarvis, if there's substance and style, Odell Beckham Jr. would provide the style to the receiving core. But Jarvis Landry just is the substance. He brings, like, not just a toughness, but a versatility because they've been able to use him in a variety of pass plays. We know Odell is great in his own right, but who, in your opinion, Allie, who's going to be the one to step up in that Jarvis Landry role until he comes back off of injured reserve?
Well, you mentioned it. Jarvis Landry, he is the heart and soul of this team. He brings the energy. He brings the juice. I suppose that's why it's his nickname. But stepping up in that role, I really think you have to give some attention right now to Demetric Felton. He stepped up in some big ways. I'm excited for what he brings to the table with his versatility, with his energy. I was lucky enough to have him on my podcast, the Here We Go Brownies podcast, earlier this offseason. And just he has that similar energy, that passion, that positivity that he brings to the table. So maybe not even so much in a slot receiver type of role, but even just bringing that positivity and that leadership that is now gone because Jarvis isn't out there. But I think keep an eye on him. Donovan Peoples-Jones, we mentioned. Those two sixth-round picks, man, I think that Andrew Berry just found some hidden gems later on in the draft. But keeping an eye on both of those guys to step up and make some huge plays in the absence of Jarvis Landry.
I want to stay just with the absence of Landry again and the two tight ends with Austin Hooper and David Njoku. I know Austin Hooper coming from Atlanta has really paid off big dividends so far for Cleveland. How big of a role? I know Hooper's going to be big this year, but how big of a role will you see Hooper as well as David Njoku play for the tight ends and the receiving side?
Well, we do know that Kevin Stefanski, he likes to run those heavy formations. And we saw that a lot, really, for the first couple of weeks here. They'll roll out three tight ends and then throw a receiver out there. Week one, they did that several times, and Anthony Schwartz was that downfield threat, which really opened up the middle of the field, and it really allowed for Anthony Schwartz to make some big plays. But just specifically in that tight end room, I said this last year, David Njoku and Austin Hooper really are the perfect complements to each other. You have Austin Hooper, who's that prototypical tight end. He can block pretty well. He can work the middle of the field. He's got pretty decent hands. And then David Njoku, who's a little bit more of a big body receiver that can go down the field, make those basketball-style plays in those big moments where you need him. But then also throwing Harrison Bryant there into the mix as well, who is a little bit of a best of both worlds situation. He's a young player coming into his second year who I think is going to play a huge role, and just his ability to continue to learn and sit behind two of the NFL's best in David Njoku and Austin Hooper.
Rightfully so, and let's move along now to on the defensive side. And you mentioned about Austin Hooper being one of the best tight ends in the league, and David Njoku definitely on his way to being that. And one of the best defensive linemen in the league is Myles Garrett, man. He had a career day within itself. He had 4.5 sacks against the Bears. I mean, Myles Garrett, he's been on a roll since he's received that big contract extension in the offseason. Just give me your thoughts on Myles and his performance in this game and what he plans to do going forward in 2021.
Man, Myles, he came out and made a statement, that's for sure. There were some people in the fan base talking about, hey, where's Myles been in week one and week two? He didn't quite seem like the Miles Garrett that we know and love. We know after he got off of the COVID list last year that, you know, he just wasn't quite himself, and it took him some time to get back to the Miles Garrett that we all, you know, that we all know. And he came back against the Bears, and he just absolutely made a statement with 4.5 sacks, which, again, is the single-game sack record for the Browns, which is just a remarkable thing to do. But, you know, he made his presence known very, very early. In weeks 1 and 2, he was getting a lot of chips, just a lot of double and triple teaming on him. But really, the Bears' offensive line just could not stop him. There was some questionable coaching and questionable play calls, I would suppose, but Myles Garrett just absolutely made his presence known from the get-go, and I really think he's going to carry that same presence as we go through the remainder of the season.
I want to stay with Miles for a moment. I know we're still very early into the season. How do you think he stacks up in terms of a defensive player of the becoming a defensive player of the year award? I mean, there's him, there's Aaron Donald, there's Nick Bosa, the list goes on and on. Cam Jordan. Mm-hmm. How do you see him ranking up in terms of maybe not getting a defensive player of the year award?
Well, I think it was very possible for him last year pre-COVID. And I think now, if he can continue to play like he did against the Bears, I think it's not even going to be close. He'll walk away with that award. There is some heavy competition there. You mentioned Nick Bosa, Joey Bosa, Aaron Donald, T.J. Watt. There's some very, very, very good pass rushers in the NFL right now. But Myles Garrett, he's just different. He's got that elusive bend. He's got those quick hips, and he can just absolutely be a game wrecker. And it really helps him to have somebody opposite him, like a Jadeveon Clowney, a Kyrus McKinley. Those guys really are elevating his gameplay. Unfortunately, last year with Olivier Vernon, he didn't quite get that pressure early on pre-COVID. Now, of course, once Miles did go out, Olivier did step up a little bit. But Miles really hasn't had an elite defensive line or an elite front seven really this point in his career. So I think having those other compliments to him is just going to boost his game and allow him to be the player that we know he is.
All right, well, you mentioned his name, and I'm going to go to the next person, Jadeveon Clowney. Jadeveon had a great game as well. He had 2 sacks in this game, and during the offseason, it was something else because Jadeveon was being he wanted to go back to Seattle. There were contract negotiations with him, maybe going back to Seattle. That thing didn't work out. Then there was a possibility of him going to New Orleans, and there were a couple of other cities. He decided to come to Cleveland, and he wound up having 2 sacks in this game against the Bears. Just give me your thoughts on Jadeveon's performance in this game, and what do you see planned for him going forward?
Well, I was so excited when the Browns were able to bring him in. I think there was a lot of mutual interest there. We tried last year to go after and get him. He ends up signing with the Titans. It just didn't work out. But everything played out the way that it needed to. He's now a Cleveland Brown. And I think this game was the first game that he made his presence known early on. I think it was the first or second play. I mean, he was right in Justin Fields' face. So I think that the Bears' offensive line just didn't quite have an answer. Obviously, 9 sacks for this defensive line. But I think this is the first time that Clowney's been healthy for a good part of his career. He wasn't quite healthy last year. He wasn't really healthy in Seattle. Even back to his days in Houston, he just wasn't playing healthy. He came out early on in the preseason and said, hey, I'm actually feeling good. This is the first time in my career that I feel this way. I'm excited to get back to the player that I know that I can be. And I think if he can remain healthy, man, Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney are going to just absolutely be game wreckers going down the stretch of this season.
Yeah, it's going to be definitely something else to watch them play going forward in this season. A couple of other names I want to mention on the defensive side, Jeremiah Owosu, Koromoa, Denzel Ward, and Greg Newsome, they all did their part as well. They had 3 tackles in this game. Just kind of give me your thoughts on how they performed against the Bears.
Well, you mentioned it, Jeremiah Owosu-Koromoa. He slipped to the second round. The Browns were able to grab him, really, which is just remarkable knowing the talent that he is. The presence that he brings, his instinct. I remember there was one play that he got a sack, and it wasn't even a called blitz. It was just him being, you know, his intelligence there on the field and following his instincts and being able to make a play on the ball. not having Anthony Walker, your play caller on the defense, it really elevated JOK's play and gave him some more responsibility. And I think he's really showing out. I'm so impressed with his play so far. I think he's absolutely a stud, the way he was able to shed some blocks and still be undersized. He's got the awareness. He's got the mentality. I think he's got a very bright future ahead of him as a Cleveland Brown. Now, you mentioned the secondary. Earlier on in the program, I mentioned, you know, the secondary was able to be locked down, but I suppose that's easier to do when your defensive front is just able to get after the quarterback. I think Justin Fields, his time to throw was under a second, which is absolutely insane to think about. And, of course, your secondary is going to be able to make plays on the ball when the quarterback's just not able to get it out correctly and go through his reads. Greg Newsom, I think, had one of his best games. He's really showing out. I think that the Browns got a steal on him with the number 26 overall pick this past year. Denzel Ward, he's played a couple of rough games. I think he's still just kind of coming into himself. I think he's an elite player, but hasn't had the best few weeks. But really that pairing of Greg Newsom, Denzel Ward, and the safety room, of course, is elite. But it was really helpful to them, I would imagine, this past week with the help of the that front seven just being able to get after the quarterback.
All right, and then we had Ronnie Harrison had a sack. We stayed in the secondary for a moment. He had two tackles and a sack in this game. Just give me your thoughts on Ronnie and how you felt he performed in this game.
Oh, I love Ronnie. I love the safety room with John Johnson, Ronnie, and Grant Delpit. I think Joe Woods loves to have those three safeties out there just shaking up some of the looks and being able to disguise the defense, especially to a rookie quarterback, which would allow guys like Ronnie Harrison to make those plays. But really, he wasn't able to come into himself last year. He came in midseason from Jacksonville, thrown right on in there, and then, of course, battled injuries. So this is the first year for him to really be comfortable within the defensive playbook and in this defensive scheme under Joe Woods. I really think he is supposed to have a big-time year. And then you have guys like Grant Delpit and John Johnson that are able to just kind of lock down that secondary and allow Ronnie Harrison in that rotation to just be able to make some big-time plays and big-time moments.
All right, and then on the get back to the D-line for a moment. Malik Jackson and Tack McKinley both have recorded a half of a sack in the game against the Bears. Just give me your thoughts on Malik and Tack and how they've performed and what do you see them doing going forward?
The interior of this defensive line, I think, has been pretty darn good. I'm not going to classify them right now as elite because there's still some movement right on in there. Andrew Billings didn't play this game, and I think really us fans thought he was going to have a bigger role so far this season. But both Malik Jackson, Malik McDowell, have really stepped up into that role into the interior defensive line. But the Browns do like to run somewhat of that NASCAR package where you have Myles Garrett on one end, Tack McKinley on the other, Jadeveon Clowney at the three technique, then, of course, Malik Jackson there in the interior, and just flat-out getting after the quarterback. It's who they are. It's what they do. It's kind of becoming their identity. Tack McKinley, I thought going into this season that he was going to have a big-time year, and I still think that's absolutely possible. I projected him to have double-digit sacks, especially with that talent just on that front four. It's just absolutely incredible. The Browns just, they have a lot of talent there. I'm sure Chris Kiffin, the defensive line coach, is thrilled with what he has to work with and all those names that we just mentioned. But what I like to see against the Bears is they were just all working together and they were all making plays.
All right. And then, of course, you know, speaking of making plays, the NFL is all about the play of the quarterback, and it's been a quarterback's league for a long time. And Baker Mayfield, of course, is the franchise quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. In this game against the Bears, he completed 19 out of 31 passes for 246 yards, and he had a touchdown pass. I know you said earlier, Allie, that Baker, in your opinion, didn't play his best game, but he was solid. Just kind of elaborate more on Baker and his performance against the Bears.
Well, I think it's important to know this is his fourth game in a row with a 95% more passer rating, which is the second longest streak in franchise history. So don't get me wrong, even though he didn't play his best game against the Bears, he is still playing at a very, very, very high level. He was injured in week two against the Texans. You know, he had a little bit of a shoulder injury, comes back this week. You can blame the lack of elite play on the shoulder or the Bears front seven really just being able to get after Baker a little bit and make him uncomfortable. But overall, I think he's making the right reads. There are a couple throws I would imagine that he would probably want to have back in that game. But overall, I think Baker is playing lights out for 246 yards. This air attack is absolutely elite. You're going to get some of those guys back, like a Jarvis Landry. And, you know, and some of these defenses, you know, they game plan for that. You know, their whole mentality coming into this game was, let's stop Nick Chubb. But Kevin Stefanski, Baker Mayfield, they said, no problem. We'll stick to Kareem Hunt, and we'll open it up with the air attack. So I think Baker has been playing very well. Of course, I'm not sure what's going on with that shoulder, if that was a little bit of a limitation for him this week. But overall, I'm very pleased with his play.
I want to stay with Baker for a moment. You know, the NFL doesn't just stand for the National Football League, but it stands for not for long. And not for long will you be in the league, whether playing quarterback or any other position, especially quarterback, where it's such a high profile and a very high demand and a high stress position. Baker Mayfield is in year four now. How confident are you, Allie, that Baker will take even a bigger leap? We saw the Browns make a big leap last year, making the playoffs and things of that nature. But how confident are you, pending, you mentioned with the shoulder, but how confident are you that Baker could really take this thing to the next level and get Cleveland even further along in the postseason run?
I'm 100% confident. All of me is confident in the ability of Baker Mayfield, but it's not just so much in the ability of Baker Mayfield, but also taking a look at the coaching staff and the continuity that's finally coming back. For the first time in what I can remember as a Browns fan, this is the first time that you not only run it back with your head coach, but also both coordinators. So the offensive verbiage is staying the same. The offensive play calling is staying the same. That playbook looks exactly the same. And this is the first time in Baker's career that he has that continuity. He hasn't had that structure up until this point, which has been kind of, probably a very big reason to his erratic play up until this point. But as I mentioned, this is his fourth straight game with a 95% or more passer rating, and I really see for that trend to continue.
All right, and let's move along now to the Browns' next game against the Minnesota Vikings. As I mentioned earlier, it's a quarterback's league, and Baker is the quarterback of the Browns, and they have a gentleman who received a nice contract just a few seasons ago, at Kirk Cousins getting the fully guaranteed money. The Vikings won a big game this past week against the Seattle Seahawks. And Kirk Cousins, again, even though we know Minnesota's bread and butter is the running game and the defense, but Kirk Cousins has been good. He's been good. He's had his moments where he hasn't done well in big games, but he's trying to change all of that. Took them to a playoff game last year. So, Allie, I got to ask you this. What must the Browns defense do to neutralize Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen in that Vikings passing game?
Well, in my eyes, if the Browns even show up and play half as good, the Browns defense, that is, play half as good as they did against the Bears, I think they can stop anybody in the NFL. When they're firing on all cylinders like that, that front four is just dominant and wrecking and getting into the face of Kirk Cousins, along with the secondary being able to lock that down. JOK and this linebacking core just being able to kind of, remain there in the middle of the field and make those instinctual plays, I think that they can beat anybody. So in order to stop this pretty darn good football team, if Myles Garrett can even just have a shred of a game that he did against the Bears, I don't even think it's going to be close.
All right, well, you know, I mentioned about Kirk Cousins and, of course, with Justin Jefferson, and there's Adam Thielen, but also they've got the defense has got to go up against one of the best running backs in the league, and that's the chef, Dalvin Cook. Now, Dalvin didn't play in this game against the Seahawks. He's expected to be healthy and ready to go against the Browns. If he does play, Allie, what do you expect the Browns defense to do to neutralize someone like as versatile as Dalvin Cook?
Well, I mentioned that NASCAR package that they like to call it, and that's having Tack McKinley and Myles Garrett there on the edges and then throwing Jadeveon Clowney there in the middle, because what we know about Jadeveon Clowney is he's absolutely capable of getting to the quarterback, but his play so far throughout his career has defined that he is an elite run stopper. So I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Woods throws that out there a little bit more often than not. To be able to stop Dalvin Cook in this run game. But also looking for another big game from the linebacking core, Jeremiah Usu-Koromoa. Hopefully Mack Wilson can step up. Sione Takitaki was out last week. But there's some Malcolm Smith, Elijah Lee, some very good linebackers that are very capable of stopping this run. And I think if the front four, as we mentioned, are just able to, you know, impose their will as they did last week, that it's really not going to give Minnesota too much of a chance to run the football the way that they would like to.
Okay, and then let's switch it over to the other side of the ball. Now, well, we've got Cleveland's offense, which is was awesome against the Bears. What do you think Cleveland's offense? What do you think Cleveland's offense needs to do to get points against that Viking defense? Because we know Vikings defense, they came up big stopping Russell Wilson in that Seattle offense. Meet Everson Griffin, Danielle Hunter. There's Sheldon Richardson and Dalvin Tomlinson. Also, Anthony Barr is in the mix as well. They've got Patrick Peterson. So what do you think the Browns offense needs to do to get points against that Viking defense?
Well, first and foremost, I think it's going to be important for them to control the time of possession. And I think they do that by establishing the run. That's what their identity is. That's who they are. They've got Nick Chubb. They've got Kareem Hunt. I think they start running the ball, and they start running the ball early. Once they're able to score and get up, I wouldn't be surprised to see them continuing to do that. I think this is going to be a nice bounce-back game for Nick Chubb. He didn't have exactly his best game against the Bears, so I would imagine that would be some fuel for him to step up and have a pretty darn good game against the Minnesota Vikings. But I also think this is going to be a big game for Baker Mayfield. Everybody had all eyes on Odell Beckham Jr. against the Bears, but that was his first game back off of injury. I would not be surprised in the next couple of weeks if he just goes big. He's finally able to get back to who he is, and I would think that, you know, Minnesota might be a good game for OBJ to start stepping up. He'll have a nice couple of touchdowns, maybe some elite plays like we know that he's able to do. But I really think that they're going to be able to control one, the line of scrimmage, and control the time of possession by Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt.
All right, and then that's Ali Highsong giving us the 411 on the recap in the Cleveland Browns game against the Chicago Bears, and we're previewing the game against the Minnesota Vikings. Ali, again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Just tell everybody what you do as the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. It's a show by the fans for the fans. And, hey, anytime I get to talk a little bit of football, it's a win for me. We cover all things Cleveland Browns. But, of course, we go around the league. We like to cover the AFC North, of course, and see what our rivals are doing and who we're up against. But we cover the entire NFL. We dive into some college football. But, you know, it's a Cleveland-based show, even though I'm in South Carolina. But anytime I get to talk a little bit of sports, it's a lot of fun for us.
Awesome, awesome. And again, tell everybody, where can they find you on social media as well as the Here We Go Brownies podcast, any websites that you have? Just let them know that as well.
Absolutely. You can check us out at herewegobrownies.com, on Twitter at GoBrowniesLive, on Facebook at official Here We Go Brownies. And you can follow me, of course, on any social, Ali_Highsong.
All right, and you heard it from her. She is Ali Highsong. She is the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to all things dealing with the Cleveland Browns. As she mentioned, you can follow her on Twitter and also check out the Here We Go Brownies podcast on Facebook as well as the other various social media platforms. Ali, thank you so much once again. If ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Be back with more right after this.
Third down and 10. Blitz coming. Mayfield steps up. Guns it complete. It is Odell Beckham Jr. Welcome back to the Browns and a first down for Cleveland.
You got Quinn and Cleo Mack lined up together.
Mayfield escapes. Looking to run. Penalty flag. First down and then some. And Mayfield in the Bears' territory for today. The Browns get a first down, and they'll fake it again. Mayfield's got a man wide open, and there he goes again. It is Felton. Browns, Bears to the great organization. Second down on the fake. Pressure coming, and he is buried. It's Owusu Koramoah again. Garrett was there, too. Well, the rookie from Notre Dame is having a big impact on this game early.
At Dietz & Watson, we've been crafting premium meats and artisan cheeses for over 80 years, so we know a thing or two about making snack time delicious. Whether you're craving smoky, spicy, or sweet, we've got what you need to create the perfect sandwich. There's something for everyone in the family, plus plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
Got a new kitten? Or looking to spoil the ones you already love? Shop online at Chewy. Find food, litter, scratchers, even prescriptions. We've got everything you need to make them happy. Plus, you get fast free shipping on orders over $49. Visit Chewy.com today.
Football season is here. Stock up with Dietz & Watson, your official tailgate partner. And since the weekend is on its way, get ready to win with a halftime sandwich spread. Enjoy endless combinations with fresh sliced deli meats and cheeses in a variety of bold flavors. There's something for everyone in the family. Plus, plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939. At Dietz & Watson, we've been crafting premium meats and artisan cheeses for over 80 years, so we know a thing or two about making snack time delicious. Whether you're craving smoky, spicy, or sweet, we've got what you need to create the perfect sandwich. There's something for everyone in the family, plus plenty of protein-packed snacks. Head to DietzandWatson.com to find a local retailer near you. Dietz & Watson, it's a family thing. Premium meats and artisan cheeses since 1939.
Socks are the number one most requested item in homeless shelters. Underwear is the second, shirts are third. At Bombas, socks were first, made with comfortable details for everyday wearing. Then underwear and shirts too, all designed to perfectly fit. At Bombas, every item you purchase means you're donating an essential clothing item to someone in need. One comfortable clothing item for you, one donated to someone in need. Bombas, comfort for all. Get 20% off your purchase at bombas.com/comfy.
It only happens once a year, and finally, the time is now. Your favorite flavor to welcome fall. Starbucks Pumpkin Spice Flavored Ground Coffee. Available in K-Cup pods, too. Enjoy every warm and balanced sip right from the comfort of home. Available at Walmart.
Listen to some good old-fashioned country. And when you do, cook up the best sausage in the country. Eckrich Smoked Sausage. Naturally hardwood smoked and crafted with just the right blend of spices. Perfect for lunch, dinner, or even right now. Eckrich, you do you.
Shall we do this?
The Property Brothers have a new streaming home
on Discovery Plus.
Start your free trial now, and you can stream every show they've ever done.
How excited are you?
We're so happy. This is great.
Discovery Plus. Stream now for just
$4.99. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Once again, a big special thank you to Ali Hysong, the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. The podcast is dedicated to providing content and information related to the NFL's Cleveland Browns. Job well done, as always, giving us the 411 on what's currently going on with the Cleveland Browns. All right, let's get right to the most important games that I've picked for week four in the National Football League. Let's start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. The future is being displayed in this Thursday night showdown between the Jaguars and the Bengals. And what I mean by the future is simple. The quarterbacks, first of all, the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the quarterback for the Jacksonville Jaguars is Trevor Lawrence, and the quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals is Joe Burrow. Of course, these two played LSU and Clemson. They played each other in the national championship game. That's the last time Burrow and Lawrence went up against one another. And since that period of time, you know, Joe has went through his growing pains in his rookie year, suffering the injury out for the remainder of the year. He's back so far. The Bengals, along with him, they've played great ball. Of course, with Cincinnati, not just Joe Burrow, but even Ja'Marr Chase has looked nice. Also, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins. They've looked great so far in Cincinnati this year. Defensively, they're playing well. And Jacksonville haven't gotten off to a great start. Again, Trevor Lawrence going through his groin pains at the as a rookie at the quarterback position. Head coach Urban Meyer going through his groin pains as well as his first year as the head coach of an NFL team with the Jaguars. Defensively, Jacksonville has had their stops here and there, but they just haven't able to put it together offensively to make it run. However, they do have an effective running back who's been great this year, entering his second year in the league, and that's James Robinson. So with all of the growing pains that Lawrence has gone through so far in his rookie year, the one bright spot that's been pretty consistent so far this year is the running back, and that's James Robinson for Jacksonville. So basically what's really going to be paid attention to is the two quarterbacks who they're calling the future of the NFL with Trevor Lawrence going up against Joe Burrow. Again, the last time these two guys went up against each other was the national championship game in 2020 in New Orleans when LSU just handled their business and just beat Clemson pillar to post. I know Joe Burrow, he's thinking about that game. I know Trevor Lawrence, that game never escaped him as well, so I know there's a lot of bragging rights and a lot up at stake in this game between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals on Thursday night. All right, the next game that I've picked as one of the most important games for Week 4 is the Kansas City Chiefs going up against the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams are coming off of losses. Kansas City coming off of a tough loss to their division rival in the AFC West, the Los Angeles Chargers. The Philadelphia Eagles were just embarrassed on Monday night by their division rival, the Dallas Cowboys. Let's start off with Kansas City for a moment. So with the loss to the division rival Chargers, Andy Reid was having issues. He was having chest pains on the sideline. He was taken to a hospital. Thank God the good news is that he suffered from dehydration. He's back returning to his duties as the head coach of the Chiefs. So now this is a must-win game for them. They're going to be headed to one of the toughest environments in the NFL, and that's in Philadelphia. So Patrick Mahomes, offensively, they should be good in this game. Eagles, their defensive line is pretty good. Linebackers and secondary, not so much, hampered by injuries. And then speaking of the Eagles, they have another injury to their offensive lineman. Isaac Suamalo is going to be out for the season due to an injury. So, I mean, that hurts. And, I mean, the Eagles, it seems like every year they just can't seem to get healthy. And they've got a lot to play for because Dallas is red hot right now. Dallas is the hottest team in the NFC East right now. Excuse me. So Dallas is the hottest team in the NFC East right now. And, you know, Philadelphia does not want to fall to a 1-3. And they have their division rival Dallas with the potential of, you know, continuing to remain at 500 to go 3-1. I tell you one thing, Kansas City, they're 1-2. They have it on their mind. Philly, they're 1-2. They're going to have it on their mind as well. And a lot of people are saying that Jalen Hurts is not a franchise quarterback. I think Jalen Hurts is a franchise quarterback. He's only in his second year in the league. I know playing in a city like Philadelphia, they want results and they want to work hard. And he's got these injuries surrounding him. The one thing that works for Philadelphia is, besides the quarterback, in my opinion, is their wide receivers. Devontae Smith has played nice. Jalen Rager's been effective. Quez Watkins has been good. But the tight ends are what really makes that offense run, with Zach Ertz and, of course, Dallas Goedert. And, of course, when I think of tight ends, Kansas City, Travis Kelce. Enough said, Tyreek Hill. They should have a field day against this Philadelphia secondary. So Chiefs and Eagles, it's a must-win game so early in the year for both teams. That's going to be a good one. And speaking of the Dallas Cowboys, the next most important game that I picked for Week 4 is the Carolina Panthers going up against the Dallas Cowboys. First, the Panthers are undefeated at 3-0. Sam Darnold, man, so far so good. What a steal he has been for the Carolina Panthers, coming over to Carolina from the trade, from the Jets. And he's played magnificently so far in the first 3 weeks of the season. Now, no Christian McCaffrey for a while. Christian McCaffrey is out. J.C. Horn is going to be out for a while. Carolina wound up getting a trade with Jacksonville for C.J. Henderson. So C.J. Henderson comes over to Carolina in exchange for draft picks, which Jacksonville will receive. So Carolina and Dallas, wow, what a game this is going to be. Sam Darnold is really, it's going to fall on him. It's like Tupac had an album called All Eyes on Me. Well, it's going to be All Eyes on Sam Darnold and the Carolina passing game. How will this passing game adapt against the Cowboys' defense that played magnificent on Monday night against the Eagles? When you have a Cowboy defense, Trayvon Diggs returning an interception for a touchdown against the Eagles. You know, Trayvon Diggs has been good. The rest of that defense has been solid the last several weeks. Of course, the win against Philly, and then you had also the win against the Chargers. So, and how about Dak Prescott? Man, Dak Prescott has been playing out of his mind so early in the season. So you got Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, that nice running combination of Zeke and Tony Pollard. Of course, the receivers are balling with CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper. And how about the tight end Dalton Schultz? The last two games, he's been very effective as well. So this is going to be a game right here between Carolina and Dallas. It's going to be a lot of questions in this game. Can Sam Darnold rise to the occasion against the Dallas defense? Can Dak Prescott and the Dallas offense continue this consistency against Carolina's defense, who has been really good so far this year? Panthers Cowboys should be exciting. Panthers undefeated, got a lot to play for this early in the season. Next game that I picked is an NFC West matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers are just chomping at the bit right now, losing a tough one Sunday night to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. The 49ers, they play hard and they play tough just like they do in every game. But they're going to have to play hard and they're going to have to play extremely tough against the division rival Seattle Seahawks. Russell Wilson, not one of his best performance, Russell played effective, but defensively Seattle, they let the Vikings get too many passing plays down the field. They let Kirk Cousins handle his business as well as that running game with C.J. Ham and also Alexander Mattison. So a lot of things have the Vikings offense were able to get a lot on that Seattle defense. So with the Seattle and San Francisco game, both teams losing their games in week three, this game is a must-win so early in the year. This game, we know when the Seahawks and the 49ers play, it's physical, it's tough, it's hard-nosed, it's brutal. I mean, you've got Russell Wilson, he's going to get his. Jimmy Garoppolo, I expect Jimmy G to have a much better game than he did against the Green Bay defense. We don't know about Elijah Mitchell. We don't know about Trey Samuel. We don't know what the status is going to be. Trey Sermon. We don't know about the status. I mean, everything is up in the air with them. We should see the running back by committee having Jamichael Hasty in the mix in the running game for San Francisco. Now, as far as the receivers are concerned, I expect Debo Samuel to play well. Debo Samuel, George Kittle, the fullback, Kyle Juszczyk, they're going to get theirs against that Seattle defense. But Russell Wilson has got to be on his A game because we know Seattle for the last 5 years now, it's about passing game. It's about passing. It's about Russell Wilson making plays. It's about Tyler Lockett. It's about DK Metcalf as well. So this is going to be one heck of a game between the 49ers and the Seahawks. Can't wait for that one. Next game that I have is going to be the Arizona Cardinals versus the Los Angeles Rams. Again, these are two rivals in the NFC West. Cardinals and Rams, so early in the year, we're getting great games. First off, the Rams played beautifully against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers from start to finish. Offensively, Matthew Stafford. Man, the Rams offense was fun when Jared Goff and Todd Gurley were there. But with Matthew Stafford as the quarterback, the Rams offense is even more explosive now because you've got Matthew Stafford, you've got DeSean Jackson, you've got, of course, Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods are there. You've got Van Jefferson. There's Tyler Higbee. They are running. I mean, the Rams offense has been fun to watch so far, so early in the year. They did a number on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. And the defense, man, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Jalen Ramsey, and the crew, they handled their business. Defensively, the Rams clicked on all cylinders. And that defense is going to have to click on all cylinders going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Kyler Murray has played extremely well so far this year. Other receivers have been good. Of course, DeAndre Hopkins has been good. A.J. Green's been effective. Defensively, the Cardinals have been balling as well. You've got J.J. Watt that's been playing pretty well. So the Cardinals are on their stuff this year. The Cardinals and Rams, it's always hard-hitting, similar to Seattle and San Francisco. Cardinals and Rams, they always play extremely well. They play each other hard. They play each other tough. This is going to come down to the quarterbacks. Kyler Murray, four-quarter comeback, or will it be Matthew Stafford having a four-quarter comeback? And the two young coaches with Cliff Kingsbury and Sean McVay, Cardinals and Rams. That's going to be a real good one right there. Next one is going to be the battle of the future Hall of Fame quarterbacks, the Pittsburgh Steelers going up against the Green Bay Packers. Ben Roethlisberger going up against Aaron Rodgers. I want to start off with Pittsburgh for a moment. It's been a tough one for Pittsburgh so far. So far they're 1-2 this year. Ben had elbow surgery in the offseason. Some people say that he may be losing a step. Some people say, you know, the offensive line, and rightfully so, the offensive line, they haven't given him the best pass protection for him to make throws. Nevertheless, the Steelers are 1-2. Defensively, they've been playing okay. They just haven't been able to put it together to have a winning record right now. So Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers will march to Lambeau Field, one of the best sports venues, not just in the NFL, but in all the sports. The Green Bay Packers, what a come-from-behind victory last Sunday night against the San Francisco 49ers. Aaron Jones did his part. He ran the ball well. Davante Adams made plays. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, he made plays as well. Also, how about Aaron Rodgers? I mean, you can say what you want about him, but Aaron Rodgers, a unique individual and a unique player. I mean, the man, 37 seconds is like an eternity for him. So, and they're going to return to Lambeau riding high. They have a record of 2-1. And with a game like Steelers and the Packers with Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, you can't ask for anything more, man. This is going to be exciting. It's going to be a fun game to watch. It's going to be the late game on CBS. So this is going to be a good one between Pittsburgh and Green Bay. The Sunday night matchup is between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going up against the New England Patriots. Drama, and more drama. You know, Mary J. Blige had an album called No More Drama. Well, guess what? There's going to be more drama. There's going to be drama leading up to this game, and there's going to be more drama in this game with the Buccaneers and the Patriots. I mean, first of all, Tom Brady, Bill Belichick are going to be joined at the hip forever. They've won 6 Super Bowls together, so many playoff appearances. The achievements and accomplishments go on and on and on. First for Tampa Bay, coming off of a tough loss over the Los Angeles Rams, you know, tough pill to swallow, losing their first game of the year. Tom going back to New England, not only does he have the Rams loss on his mind, but also coming back to a place where he spent 20 years there. And, you know, for all of the memories that are there, I know, you know, he forgives them, but I know in Tom Brady, he doesn't forget how he was, you know, they let him go. Let's just be real about that. So you've got that sting of coming back to New England and the loss against the Rams. Tom is going to be ready. Not just Tom, but the rest of it. You know, Rob Gronkowski, former Patriot, he's got a lot on his mind too. And also the rest of the Bucs that want to get a victory in Foxborough, Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Leonard Fournette, Ronald Jones. The defense that was embarrassed by that Ram offense, I know they're going to have a statement to make in trying to stop Mac Jones, the rookie quarterback for the Patriots in that offense. And for New England, Bill Belichick, coming off of a miserable loss to the New Orleans Saints, rookie quarterback Mac Jones was just beat up by the Saint defense. I know the Patriots are looking for a much better showing against the Buccaneers, and on Sunday night, where the whole world is practically going to be watching this game, watching for the storyline between Brady and Belichick, Buccaneers and Patriots, that's the Sunday night game. And Monday night game, we've got an AFC West showdown between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. Both of these teams are red hot right now. I want to start off with the Las Vegas Raiders. 3-0. Derek Carr, I know it's early in the year, but he's an MVP candidate. He has played magnificently so far this year. John Gruden, he's got to be proud. You know, Coach Gruden loves throwing the ball. He loves quarterbacks. He loves the quarterback play. He loves, you know, throwing the ball, taking it downfield. And Derek Carr is the guy for him. And so far, so good, because the Raiders' offense has been great. Kenyon Drake has filled in nicely for the injured He's filled in nicely for the injured Josh Jacobs. And how about the receivers and tight ends? Darren Waller, what a game. I mean, what a season he's had so far. Darren Waller has been like the hand in glove for Derek Carr. All-pro, all-world tight end. Also the receiving side, you know, you've got Henry Ruggs. I mean, you know, Hunter Renfro, Zay Jones. The Raiders' offense has been so good in this early part of the year, and they have to take that offense to Inglewood, to SoFi Stadium, to go up against the Los Angeles Chargers. And we talk about Derek Carr being an effective quarterback. Man, how about Justin Herbert? Man, only in his second year in the league, and, man, he is developing so fast, man. What a great player that he's become for the Chargers. Of course, he's got Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Austin Eckler. These guys are phenomenal. And let's not talk about the Charger defense as well. Joey Bosa, Melvin Ingram, Derwin James Jr., Chris Harris, super talent, great talent on that Charger defense. Questions that are going to be answered are, can the Charger defense stop the Raider offense that's been so red hot? What about the Raider defense? Can the Raider defense stop the Charger offense? Can Max Crosby and company get to Justin Herbert? Raiders and Chargers, man, this is going to be a shootout, I believe. It's going to be Monday night. It's going to be phenomenal. Raiders and Chargers, don't miss it. All right, that takes care. That's my preview of Week 4's most important games. Now I want to talk now about my game of the week. My game of the week is going to be the NFC West matchup between the Seattle Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. For the Seattle Seahawks, the last 5 years, it's been Russell Wilson's team. I've watched the team go from being run first, defense, the Legion of Boom, and having a quarterback that's athletic and making plays, to becoming an offense where we're throwing the ball first, and rightfully so. Russell Wilson is in his prime. They've got two elite wide receivers with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And they're going to be marching into one of the toughest places to play in the NFL at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California, and that's the San Francisco 49ers. The 49ers coming off of a tough loss against the Green Bay Packers. Jimmy Garoppolo, he's going to come out much better in this game. I believe that he's going to play better. They're going to be not so conservative on the passing side. They're really going to do more threats. They're going to throw the ball downfield more on the passing side. Expect more out of Brandon Ayuk. Expect plenty more of Deebo Samuel. You know, Kyle Juszczyk, and of course you know about George Kittle, he's going to get his as well. For the Seahawks, I expect some running. I expect some running, the running game to be an X factor for the Seahawks, but I think Russell Wilson is going to play very, very well in this game. I know he watched the game on Sunday night with the Packers and the 49ers, and he saw how Aaron Rodgers was able to get points and get yards against that 49er defense. And with injuries piling up in that 49er secondary, I expect Russell Wilson and that Seattle passing game to be big in this one. They were pretty good against Minnesota last week, but I think this is going to be a statement game, a comeback game for Russell and that Seattle passing game. This is going to be a fun game. It's Russell Wilson, it's Tyler Lockett, it's DK Metcalf, it's Jimmy G, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, Kyle Juszczyk, George Kittle, you know, Nick Bosa, Eric Armstead. I mean, so many great names in this contest, man. The Seattle Seahawks versus the San Francisco 49ers, my game of the week. All right, before I get on out of here, I want to give my picks on who I think will win Week 4's most important games. I'm going to start off with the Thursday night matchup between the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cincinnati Bengals. I like Cincinnati to win that game. I think Joe Burrow is going to have the upper hand on Trevor Lawrence in this contest. So I like the Bengals to beat the Jaguars. I like the Kansas City Chiefs to beat the Philadelphia Eagles. It's going to be a close game, but I like the Dallas Cowboys to beat the Carolina Panthers. Close game, my game of the week, Seattle and San Francisco. I like the Seahawks to beat the 49ers. The Arizona Cardinals versus the Los Angeles Rams. The Rams will continue their winning ways. I like the L.A. Rams to win that one. Great game at Lambeau Field between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. I expect another close game, but I like the Green Bay Packers to win that game. Sunday night, Brady, Belichick, you know, the drama the drama that's going to unfold in that game. I like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to easily beat the New England Patriots in this one. And Monday night is going to be a fantastic game between the Las Vegas Raiders and the Los Angeles Chargers. I like the Chargers to beat the Raiders. So, again, my picks are Cincinnati, Kansas City, Dallas, Seattle, L.A. Rams, Green Bay, Tampa Bay, and the Los Angeles Chargers. So those are my picks on who will win Week 4's most important games. And also, before we get on out of here, I just want to say that Richard Sherman has just signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Richard made it official on his podcast that he worked out with the Buccaneers, and they've signed him. So, again, Sherman spent the last several seasons with the San Francisco 49ers, and, of course, you know, won a Super Bowl with the Seattle Seahawks as a member of the Legion of Boom. So, again, Richard Sherman signs with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of the League Wraparound. Once again, big special thank you to Allie Highsong, the co-host of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. Of course, the podcast is dedicated to Cleveland Browns content. Thank you to her once again for giving us insight on what's currently going on with the Browns. Until next week, I'm Ed Robinson saying so long, and you've been listening to the League Wraparound. Talk to you next week.